Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
I shot a short film with my neighbor Kirk Larson this weekend.
Was it a short film because you were in it? And then
go fuck yourself. And I was sitting on an incline for quite a while, full of rocks and stuff. My fucking b-hole is terrorized. Like, it still hurts.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like really sore. And then the top of my head got all burnt through the thinning hair that I had.
Right.
And it's the type of problem that what you said is correct, where I don't get any sympathy.
No, just laughed at.
But it also takes my quality of life down about like 12%.
Yeah.
It hurts to wear a hat.
Yeah, and that's not good. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben Kissel with Henry Zebrowski.
Yay.
And Marcus Parks is joining us today.
Oh, yeah. We're all here in the Los Angeles studio together.
This Los Angeles studio, I have to say, it smells totally wholesome and good.
You mean it's like,
No,
it's because Holden fucking McNeely was staying here from Roundtable Gentleman and Wizard of the Bruiser. He was living here, and it, you know how he goes, where he was like, Eddie got me the fucking hookup with the fucking this week, man. And it's just like, you don't need a hookup.
No, not at all. It's Los Angeles. You just go to the store.
Right. You just get it. And he just blasted it out in here just every day. He's just like, I don't got my fucking girlfriend here, man. I got my inflatable bed. I got my fucking towel for a shower, man.
It's really happy with the inflatable bed, like overjoyed.
He was just like, it's just totally good, man. Because think about inflatable bed, man. It goes anywhere you want to fucking put it, man. It's like, yeah.
Oh, yes. The joys of the friendship that we all share with Holden McNeely.
Absolutely.
It is funny how much you hate seeing him remotely close to happy.
It's grating.
Yeah.
It hurts the soul. But it's good to have everyone here on the Whistle.
Good to be here, man.
This is Tupac's fucking realm, dude.
Yeah, man. I can't wait. And I can't wait for part three. We're going to get to the murders, so no need to freak out. I promise you it will be covered.
We tried another narrative form.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that change is difficult for some, but it will be fine.
It's not even a different narrative form. I mean, it's still a linear story, but you still have to explain who the players are in the story. And in order to explain who the players are in the story, you have to explain how we know who the players are in the story.
You are culpable, Marcus.
It's not a different narrative form at all.
But we also...
the exact same.
I think we do... I'm going to give a little bit of a caveat here for this episode. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk a little bit about the movie Hereditary, because we all three saw it.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it yet, go see it and then come back and listen to this episode.
Yeah, pause
Yeah, pause it.
Tell your family to just shut the fuck up for a second. Go over it. Honestly, do what I did. I had a couple of pretty solid edibles. I got these little gummy squares. They're like little gum.
10
like,
milligrams?
There were 5 milligrams each, but I did two of them because that's kind of my norm.
Right.
I thought it'd be cool. And then what I knew, my favorite thing to do is I bring my fucking packs into the free ads. Please buy ads for us, packs.
Sure.
Please. Yeah. I take it into the bathroom and I do a thing where I did now with Natalie. It's like fun because I go, I have to take a pee and I go, wink, 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 wink. And she's like, just say you're going to smoke weed in the bathroom.
Right.
Because what I do is I go into the stall right before the movie and I vape it up in the stall.
You could probably just do that in the theater.
No, you can't smoke inside. You're not supposed to smoke inside.
Really? But it's
just the vape. I'm fucking reckless fucking records, man. Ruthless records.
I guess so. You want to get like Pee Wee Herman, but instead of looking at smut, you're like smoking weed in the back of a movie theater?
Yeah.
I don't think that's so bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad. It's definitely not Ruthless Records level.
No, I don't think so.
Let me have this.
No.
This is all I have. But it's like, we're out here. Yeah, and so I got really high for it, which in the end was like... a massive mistake.
You think so?
Well, it's because We'll talk about it. I guess we're going to get into it.
I saw it at Nighthawk Cinemas in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Had a couple of beers, a couple of whiskeys, a couple of tater tots, and some beef jerky. And it was a great experience, man.
It's fantastic. I couldn't imagine going and seeing that movie high. That sounds like a fucking terrifying nightmare.
I got so much beef jerky. I do have to clarify, because I kept on writing it down. We got three beef jerkies. And then the second time she came back and she's like, did you really want more beef jerky?
Did I stutter when I wrote it down?
When I wrote it, well, it probably did look like it was like stuttered.
You're just grabbing beef jerky from other places. Nighthawk is specifically very good jerky.
Oh, so good.
You turn me on to that.
Yes.
I get popcorn and beef jerky whenever I go, and I get a fucking couple of slammers. Those six-point beers are so good. So crisp.
Would you say, though, that Hereditary is one of the more divisive movies that I've heard of in quite a while?
I guess so. It's one of those, when I came out of it, There was a scene at the end of Hereditary where Natalie and I literally were gripping each other so hard, and I was involuntarily going, oh! Like, I started yelling, which I never do.
Was this when she was, like, taking the, what I believe to be clay wire? I think she used that to, yeah. It was like the worst kind of flossing.
That was awesome. By then, I was just like, yeah.
Pretty
because
mad.
Once it clicked into like the second half of the third act where it just goes ape shit, yeah. I was just like,
man.
I find that is the divisive part of the movie. But the part that scared me was when she was doing the fucking crouching tiger up on the back of the wall and then ran at him through the house, like her son. We were both like, like starting to scream.
Well, we've all been there.
Yeah.
We've all had our parents chase us down the hallway.
Oh, yeah, know, in a silent, floating way. Yeah. That's always good. Super creepy, no sound, kind of swimming in the air, which was fucking awesome. Yeah.
What's the name of that lead actress?
That would be Toni Collette.
Toni Collette.
She crushed him.
Crushed it.
I'm just super pissed because we know she's going to be nominated for, like, Comedy of the Year because they refuse to recognize horror as a genre.
It's drama.
It'll be a drama. Yeah, maybe it'll be a drama.
All horror to me, the best horror, and that's what Hereditary did really well, is that it is drama with very high stakes. And so you basically take anything, that's like where Exorcist worked really well, or Get Out, where it has themes,
right,
where it's trying to express, and there's like an idea, there's like a hook, but at the same time, it's drama turned up to 15 because the stakes are life and death, and you're adding maybe a supernatural element. But that's what, to me, when horror is at its best, which is stuff like this movie, which again, I don't know why is so divisive.
It's
genuinely very scary, except for the fact that hype ruins things for people.
Ruins everyone
needs to. I don't know why everyone feels like they need to support some conversation.
I think one of the reasons why like drama, why horror doesn't do as well with like dramatic critics is because for some stupid fucking reason, everybody has to relate to everything. Everybody, it has to all be about them. And if they can't, if it's not a specific situation, like a boring fucking situation that they can plug into their own lives, they don't get it and they think it has no worth, which is.
I mean, who can't relate to a peanut allergy? That's what the girl had. Everyone has a peanut allergy. That was pretty badass, though. Again, huge spoiler alert, but when her head got popped off in that post, I was like, this is so crazy. Another round of beef jerky, please.
A part of what we were talking about with the movie, when Natalie and I, like, after, because by that point, we're just like, because when she get her head knocked off, and it's got that scene of like that
I was
minute
totally stunned,
of that kid of the, her son just like staring and realizing what he did,
and I think they did that scene perfectly because he was obviously still stoned. Like he had that look on his face, like you know when you're stoned and you fuck up so bad.
Is the spirit going to him then?
No.
I thought the spirit went into him, the one that was in the girl.
That all hinges on the ritual at the end. The ritual at the end was supposed to be switching her spirit into him. That's what that was?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was just super stoned and just trying to figure out what the fuck just happened.
Because his reaction was not exactly about to save a life.
It's like when you do, you know, like, have you ever had a life-changing injury? Like, honestly, like, had a thing that then has haunted you ever since? Like, when I cut the tip of my thumb off, where it's like, there's like a hot second where it's like, I cut an inch of my thumb off. And then you're looking at it for a while being like, is this real?
Yeah.
Right.
Did I just really fuck up this bad? Like, how bad is this? Can't be that bad. And then he turns around and all of a sudden you fucking knock your sister's head off.
Right.
It's so like he, that was a great moment.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting, man. I mean, I got a basketball. My knee is hurting me. I've been doing some layups and I've been shooting with my left hand for my left-handed layups.
Nice.
It's great. I really got to see you do this.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go. Let's go ball.
Let's go ball.
Yeah, I didn't bring it with me to L.A. because I'm not like special needs. Yeah. Like, I can't just travel with the basketball everywhere. Although
this is my basketball.
Yeah. Have you seen my basketball? Like, what is it? Something About Mary? Like the brother in Something About Mary?
Yeah,
baseball.
You have my baseball. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But I think when the girl's head got fucking knocked clean off, like they didn't, because you think like it's just going to be something that they forget about, that they're not going to show, because
the kid goes home with the body still in the car and then just goes to bed, and you think like, okay, she's screaming off screen, we're not going to see it, and then they fucking hard cut to the little girl's head covered in ants.
Which
on
is
the side
ring
of the
cut. That's what I liked about it. That was cool. Like the fucking, it was like the cutting to the victim where it was such a punch in the fucking gut.
I don't understand why he just went to bed though. Yeah. Like I just feel like wake up, mom. Yeah. I don't know if you would get a great night's sleep. He seemed to sleep well.
That's also like part of the themes of the movie, or at least as far as the themes of that character, is the refusal to take responsibility.
Yes. Right. All of them not looking at what's happening in the house and not understanding what's growing. But I think that's a part of that part of the movie. We were so exhausted emotionally.
And that was only 45 minutes in.
Yeah. And so a part of it's like the movie Killing of a Sacred Deer. It was a semi-supernatural movie that was based mostly upon the fear of like your family and fear of like emotional trauma. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what was the dark driving aspect of that movie. So after Killing of a Sacred Deer, it was like Jackie and I watched it in the middle of a Sunday afternoon and we were just traumatized. We're just like, oh, what the fuck did I just put in my brain? In the middle of Hereditary, we're like, I'm so exhausted emotionally. The fact that it goes super gonzo at the end for me is what saves the movie.
Yeah.
It makes it not just a cry fest, not just like Lars von Trier, how deep can we twist your emotions? It's now like, okay, you jumped into genre in a way that I fucking love.
Some people were like, they were like in the scene Dumb and Dumber when they got two paths and they're like, well, let's go to Colorado. And they're like, John Denver's full of shit. Like a lot of people, that was where they started to hate the movie.
Yeah, but I
don't get it.
When the little girl's head got caught.
That's like halfway through. And then either you loved it from there or that's where people started to change.
I was unsure at that moment. Like when that happened, because, you know, when it started getting all of like the grief stuff, when the grief stuff started happening, I was like, okay, this is like, there needs to be something else here. And then when the supernatural stuff started, when other woman, the other
Joan.
Witch, the undercover witch.
That was so fucking undercover witch needs to be a show immediately. Make that happen.
The whole time with that too, when Joan and her becoming friends, I was like, is this like a bad movie? Like, are they just like throwing this relationship in there? And then when the seance happened and things started jumping, like I started laughing, thinking, you know, like, because she's having that reaction where she's like, what the fuck?
What's supposed to be funny?
Yes.
It's a break in tension.
Well, you look at it, but it's also like a thing where man, are they really rushing this whole supernatural thing? And then at the very end of the movie, you're like, oh, it was a fucking scam. The whole thing was her just being like, you just say this thing and just do this.
I don't even know what language it is.
Right.
You know what's cool about the language is the language that they used. It's a combination of Hebrew and Enochian.
Awesome.
Yeah, just very much steeped in actual lore.
So again, massive spoiler alert. This is the end of the movie. When the dude becomes King Payman, that's a real story.
Payman is a very much a real story. And King Payman is he's the ninth demon in the...
Who's the eighth?
Actually, ninth.
He's the ninth.
He's actually the
Why
ninth.
Would they not do the ninth then? They called
eighth
him the
is
eighth.
A better number?
No, the ninth because it goes.
Really?
There's King Bael, Duke Agaris, Prince Visago, Marquis Samigina.
They sound like such nerds.
No, dude, I don't know. They all sound like guys that like getting spanking people, but also being in charge of emo bands.
I'm not going to criticize them.
There's President Marbus.
that's awesome.
There's Duke Valifor, Marquis Aemon, Duke Barbatos, King Payman is number nine. And all he's followed by President Buer and Duke Gushin.
Now, Duke Gushin, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to be Duke Gushin later.
I've seen a couple of movies he's in.
Yeah. My question, where do you find that source? What is that from?
I mean, that was just from, I went to the Wikipedia page for Payman and then went to the Wikipedia page for The Lesser Key of Solomon, which The Lesser Key of Solomon.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it all comes from The Lesser Key of Solomon. So all this stuff comes from ancient grimoires. Ancient, like a couple thousand years old. But this is all steeped in like grimoire. lore that eventually, Aleister Crowley ended up using in the Order of the Golden Dawn. Right. So all of this stuff, because King Payment actually does have its roots back in Mesopotamia. And that's another cool thing is that originally King Payment was a female goddess, like a lot of those Babylonian gods were.
And that's what they started in the film,
too. Yeah, and they started in the film, and it eventually was turned into like more of a male thing as the patriarchy started getting more hold up, you know, started really like getting into the gods and all that, and all the female gods were, pretty much scuttled.
Switched.
Yeah, all the female gods were scuttled and switched to male gods. So this whole like King Payman thing is like he's a lord of hell, very, very loyal to Satan, and and is like a...
He's like a Stephen Miller.
He's a king. He's like a king. He's a king of like knowledge. Like he's also kind
which
of
which is
a,
what they bring up in the movie about the idea they use him to be the idea is to give them knowledge and ultimate power.
Right. Yeah. And I gotta say, just the middle-aged front bodies in that, powerful.
Well, yeah, because
wonderful.
That's what all magic users look like.
Yes.
Did you realize that was the group therapy? Group?
Yeah. No, that was the group therapy.
Yeah. It was all a setup.
I didn't notice that at all. And actually, Carolina noticed. She went and saw it again. She noticed like a cool detail where a lot of the shots have six objects in them. So it's like, so these like weird things where it's like 666, like that's all over the movie where it's like very, it's not obvious, but she started like counting shit and noticed a lot of the shots had exactly six objects.
You know, everything that was done in that movie, regardless if you liked it or not, you can't say it was a bad movie because it was shot great and it was intentional. You know, like so many, I feel like a lot of horror movies just, they end up like, I don't know how to end the damn thing, and they just sort of like trail off into whatever. You know,
but also the success of Get Out was the same exact thing.
Yes.
Is it was hunting for a theme, and it expressed an idea that was unique, and using horror tropes and themes and being super entertaining at the same time, where it's like Hereditary not only showed a lot to do, had a lot to do with magical ritual, which was really fucking cool, the way that they folded all that in, but also it was about these weird family themes that were... uniquely expressed. My fucking takeaway was that the movie was about how it's essentially a movie about narcissistic matriarchs, and that the grandmother did not get the love that she wanted from her own family enough to her satisfaction, that she joined a cult that then made her a queen of it, and then she sacrificed everybody that wasn't a part of her vision of what her life should be, which is what the whole family was about.
Like, hug your mother. Just go hug your mother, because you never know when she's going to flip, join a cult, put a massive curse on you and your family, and then you lose your daughter and your son, really. And you have to saw your own head off, which that's horrible.
Yeah,
and I also thought, like, when I saw the ants, remember that movie Joe's Apartment?
Yeah.
It was so stupid.
Yeah, with Jerry
O'Connor. There was a bunch of cockroaches in it, right? And there was a cockroach handler that brought all the cockroaches. Was there someone who just like, I got the ants?
Yeah.
Like, I'm the ant guy who goes to all the Hollywood sets. Because there are like rules.
Yeah.
You can't hurt the ants.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, those are actors.
Those are actor ants.
Those are actors. Yeah. You can't hurt those, and they come in big buckets.
Yes. And so like someone's just like, this is what I do. And he probably makes like $300,000 a year just bringing the ants.
Oh, yeah. Ant handler's a big thing.
Yeah, all those bug guys.
Yeah.
When you meet the world of bug guys, but it's a problem. They're always wearing like safari hats, and it's always the same. A lot of netting in their clothes because you're like, sometimes my cast, that's what I call them, my cast of ants, they get into my bed and make everything all squirrely whirly. Because you also have to get willing ants.
Yeah. Of course. They have to be able to do it on camera.
Well, as far as like the themes go in the movie, like it could also be, you know, a movie about what people are willing to give up for power. How people are like, because she sacrificed an entire family for power. Like, and that's it. Just power. And, you know, it, you know, could also be because at the core, it's a movie about family.
Right.
Like that's no matter what the outside themes of that are, like the whole movie is definitely about family.
Also got to show massive props to whoever got lit on fire. When the husband got lit on fire, I was like, they are really engulfing that person. Like there was a lot of flames on that dude right now.
And forgot to stop, drop and roll too. He just stood there.
Although I never, whoever stopped, dropped and rolled? It doesn't make any sense.
It should be done more often.
I feel like to more things.
Yeah. I feel like that's a really good response to a lot of dangers where you could just stop, drop and roll and people would know what you're doing. It's a good way to surprise a mugger. You hit him like a bowling ball.
Yeah. Well, I think that's actually exactly what you did when you were mugged.
Yeah, no, I'm getting mugged!
That is what you do to survive a bear attack, though.
Yeah. Well, no. What do we know? It's a black attack, brown get down, white good night. That's how. That's the. And I did that once during the Robert Hansen episodes. And a bear person told me that I was correct.
Hey, all right, look at that.
Oh, another cool thing about the mother that was like a small detail, but also like kind of a nod to actual possession, was when she said that her mother suffered from DID, which is dissociative identity disorder,
yes.
Which is what a lot of people, that's what exorcism is often diagnosed as.
Yes. And I also liked when she first came in after
exorcism, possession.
Yes. And after the, when she first came in after the first seance in the house, and she comes in, he's like, it smells awful in here. And right. I was like, the first thing was like, oh, that's demon.
Yeah.
That's a demon possession.
Right.
It's like, because they always smell like farts.
Yeah. Well, she spoke to it because that's what the whole, the thing that she told her to read in order to speak to her daughter, like that was a demon summoning.
Right,
spell.
Right. Yeah.
It's awesome.
I mean, It's cool, man. I like the idea of just a bunch of randos at a funeral.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. And Marcus, you need to start meeting more people
because
we talked about this last night and you need to meet more people.
I have enough. I think
we're all going to die before you.
Yeah, what happens if Carolina gets it? What if she gets the demon? What are you going to do then?
She's not going to get the demon.
You don't know.
I know she's not going to get
Colombian.
The demon.
She's Colombian. She comes from a line of brujas.
Yeah, man, and who knows what you're doing
in
that
office. She doesn't come from a line of brujas. I mean, she does. She has been studying, Santeria, like really hard
for
the last 2 weeks.
That's good, buddy. Is that a good idea?
Look at that. I wonder if the dog from Sublime's still alive. Remember him?
Bradley?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was cute.
No way. Was that the name?
I don't remember.
I think it was just dog.
Yeah. But it's got to be kind of trippy. Just a bunch of random strangers at a funeral that you don't know where they came from or whatnot. But I like that they just started the movie off there. And the trailer, actually, I only watched it one time with one eye closed because I try to keep it.
You were hammered. That's what you mean. Yeah. It's like, some kind of film. Is this a short film?
But they didn't actually give anything away, or not too much away. They did a good job with the trailer as opposed to 99.9% of horror movie trailers, which you don't have to watch the movie after you see the damn thing.
Yeah, I watched the trailer like a few months ago and just was like, I went to the other room and got Carolina's like, watch this. We have to see this fucking movie. And then I watched the trailer again today, and it makes sense in retrospect, but when you're watching it's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Like this, it gives away nothing at all.
Why are we now in a world, though, where there
in
are
a world.
Like
in a world.
But why are we in a world where there are these like tentpole horror movies? You know what I mean? Because now every year there's always like this is the good horror movie.
Like usually it's a Conjuring movie.
Something is either or
James Wan movie. James Wan has been like the tentpole horror guy for years.
For
now.
A while, and then but there's also stuff like last year. I mean, Get Out was obviously the big one that was the tentpole, and like the scary one was Killing of a Sacred Deer, right?
Yeah.
Like they always kind of pair one and two, where one's like a super poppy one, and then one is like Halloween's coming up. There's a lot of people. The Halloween remake is being made.
I know. I'm like
quite a
little bit skeptical, but apparently John Carpenter likes it. And I was talking to someone who went to John Carpenter's home and spoke with him, and he said he wouldn't lie because he just doesn't care about anything. So he said it was good.
No,
so.
and it's like the trailer looks really fun.
I'm excited to see what they do with it.
How much do you think TSA agents love Lil Rel in Get Out?
Like that was
the. Is there ever a TSA? No TSA is ever depicted properly. I think is. They are annoying. That's all I'm going
to
say about the TSA.
In that movie. Lil Rel to me is obviously the breakout of that whole movie. He was the best part of it. And he said that, like, yeah, he just gets all he gets is fucking high fives.
You should do a by the TSA when he goes through.
Okay.
That's a brilliant idea. Mm-hmm. We fly so much.
Yeah.
We've got to make friends with TSA agents and pilots.
Yeah, because the other ones will help you out if you do something stupid. Like if you bring something, they'll let you bring your shampoo in.
Lil Rel can do whatever he wants. He's a hero.
Oh, yeah, he's a hero. It's a great movie.
That's a brilliant idea. You just worked with him, though, so you should do a humble brag.
I did.
Oh, on KB's project.
I worked on Kevin's project, but then I was working. We've done a bunch of shit with Lil Rel because of Friends of the people. And he's great. He's always been super generous, and they are very, Get Out's a great movie. I'm excited to see what Jordan Peele does now.
Yeah.
I hopefully it doesn't all just kind of like go up to his head. I imagine there's a lot of pressure to come up with the follow up. He's got a bunch of like shit in pre-pro that he's working on.
Well, the only thing that makes me feel like okay about the fact that it seems like a bunch of comedians are making the new Halloween, which I don't love, but Jordan Peele did such a great job with Get Out. And comedy and horror is very, very similar.
Because it's
so
visceral.
Maybe it's good. I just don't want it to be like, I don't know. I'm a little bit hesitant. No cute. It's
no
Halloween.
Cute. Yeah.
And I want Michael Myers to be as brutal as humanly possible. And I don't know. I'm just a little bit worried that they're going to ham it up.
No cute, no winks, no nothing like that. Because that's one thing I loved about Hereditary is like horror is very much a genre that's really big on homage.
Yeah.
And it's really big on like reference. But sometimes it can be done in a way that takes you completely out of the movie.
Yeah.
But with Hereditary, it was very subtle. Like a lot of people are comparing it to The Exorcist, which I don't get at all. But what it should be compared to is The Shining.
Yes.
Because there were a lot of shots in it that mimic The Shining. Like when they showed Toni Collette with her mouth open and her eyes open, like silently having, like, you know, that look of surprise, that totally mimics the shot of Danny in The Shining. And then there's also a long panic, like when Toni Collette is like walking down the stairs and walking like across the room. I think she's sleepwalking or something. Mm-hmm. There's this slow pan that also like mimics another Shining shot.
I am a little bit pissed off they missed the opportunity to make a earnest goes to camp reference with it's modeling clay. Modeling clay. But that's all right.
It's erroneous.
What can you do? Not every movie can have an Ernest Goes to Camp reference, although I wish that every movie somehow by law was forced to.
Well, I saw what I like about Hereditary is like you can say whatever you want about it, but it had a lot of passion. And yeah, it was made really well. And
you can say it's not your taste, but you can't say it's a bad movie.
Well, I mean, you can say whatever. I mean, obviously, you can say whatever you want. And you can be live in the wrong that you are for your whole life. You can just sit in a bucket of how wrong you are, because you're allowed to. It's a free country.
Yeah.
But it also did good with the shocks. I also saw Upgrade this week.
How is Upgrade?
Oh, I heard that was really fun.
Yeah. It's pretty corny, but the kills in it.
Yeah,
make
the
it
kills
something
are great.
Else. And
I
also,
see
Hotel
or,
Hotel Artemis was a fucking abortion.
Hotel Artemis?
Yeah, no good.
The fuck is Hotel Artemis?
I never heard of that at all.
No.
And I feel like I'm like a little bit aware.
It's essentially a Kmart version of John Wick, where they went and they did it. Not to insult Kmart! Because
I mean, let's be honest.
But no, they basically took the idea of the assassin hotel hospital,
okay.
And they made a whole movie about it. But instead of like making it good, they made it like really bad.
Mm,
where
right.
It was like a 90-minute movie, and there's like no violence until 80 minutes in, and it's like it is a hotel of assassins.
Oh.
They should be murdering each
every
other
every second.
The second the movie starts.
Yeah.
There should be action, action,
how
action.
How do you mess that up?
It's just all quirky fucking conversations, and every one of the superstars of the movie needs to have a 2-minute monologue about their characters, and everything's all about like, yes, but she misses her child, but he was saved by her as proxy child, and ooh, Jeff Goldblum, he's fun in it. Oh, yeah, but he does good in it for like 30 seconds, and then he's over it. Fucking, what's
how much
name?
Do you think he got paid for that 30 seconds?
Oh. I can't imagine.
This is another trend that I've noticed too, is the quirky true crime thing.
I'm sick of it.
I'm so sick of it.
Just kill each other.
I don't know what they're trying to do with it, but it's the like the assassin that's like kind of, it's kind of quirky. It's kind of weird.
It's
like,
not, we're going to be doing the Iceman here in the very near future. There's nothing quirky. There's nothing cute.
No.
He's a assassins
walking shroud
are,
of death.
Yes. So
he shows up, you know you're going to die, and you beg and you scream, and he's like, it's my job to kill you. And it's just like, that's it. And he just fucking kills you. There's no emotion. There's no like back and forth.
No.
No, the cute. They are assassins. They've gotten to this point. They're at a hospital.
I'm
like, it's supposed
for those.
To be like, it's supposed to be fair game, which gives it this fucking, it's supposed to be like, you know, no one gets murdered here. You know, like that's the idea of it. So then what you should be doing is
rules
murdering each other because you're breaking
to be
rules.
Broken.
You're breaking the rules.
Come on. That's hilarious. So don't go see Hotel Artemis.
Yeah.
Evidently. Horrible name, I have to say.
That's a terrible name.
I don't
want to
be like a troll here, and that maybe
sounds,
I would have liked the movie better.
It sounds like a Hotel Under the Sea.
Oh. Well, that actually sounds good. You
that'd
made it sound amazing.
That would be kind of
a
fun.
A Hotel Under the Sea.
A Hotel Under the Sea.
Yeah,
it's a mermaid hotel. That's
whoa.
What it sounds like. It sounds like a mermaid hotel.
And they have fish sex. Like the weird fish.
And you
dip
have
comes
to
out.
Give them an Oscar. Yeah.
You have to give them an Oscar. Shape of Water was good.
Yeah.
I love Shape of Water.
It's not.
It's fucking great.
There's a lot more fucking slapping some beans in it than I thought there was going to be that made me really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
I mean,
it starts off with the bean slapping.
I love it. That's. Yeah. I was just like, hell yeah, man.
All right.
Into the next gear. I didn't know I was going to be horny leaving this movie. I thought I was going to be filled with wonder.
I don't even
and
know.
It was.
All right.
But also. Beans
getting dug out, buddy.
It's a Siskel and Ebert episode. I love it. I love it.
I want more Hereditary. I'm going to go
more
see it again.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it again, too.
I'm really hoping Rob Zombie's new movie, evidently he's making one.
Okay.
I really hope it's good.
31 was kind of a little...
31, he did asleep. He was, I don't know if he was like half in the bottle of a tequila or half in the tequila bottle or what happened, but he hated that movie. And I think he was just mad at us for some reason.
He
I don't know if we made him mad.
No,
like, Rob,
because,
just come back. I love you.
It's because America didn't, like when he said, I'm making a hockey comedy, America didn't go, yay!
But they honestly, they should have, because he would do a great job making a
No, man, I want you to make horror movies. Honestly,
I want him to do what he wants to do.
I know.
Because when he doesn't want to do it, it's 31.
Yeah. So anytime you make an artist do what they don't want to do, it's going to be fucking awful.
It's like they're punishing you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want to punish you for it. Like, oh, you, this is what you want. Oh, you want horror, huh? Here it is. And he takes a big dump on your fucking desk.
I rescind. I rescind and I back away, which I understand. But it's like, I don't understand how anybody complains about horror.
Yeah.
I don't know how you, like, I like, that's, like, I will say, but,
but it's not that they complain, like, I don't get why people take horror so personally.
Because,
but I also don't get why people take anything so personally.
Any type of content personally. Like, the idea of, like, The Last Jedi was literally the only good Star Wars movie.
Is it really the last
one? I'm gonna maybe say it's the only actually good Star Wars movie.
Except for
Empire Strikes Back.
And I'll disagree with you, like, I didn't really like The Last Jedi that.
Whatever.
No one.
Yeah, I don't care.
Jar Jar, like,
it's fine. I'm not gonna get mad at you for that. I took Preacher, like, a little bit personally, but then I corrected myself because I realized how big of an idiot I was being.
Well, because it's a matter of
time. And then I ended up liking the show.
Yeah, you're fine with it. It's just whatever. It's just like you either let it segue it in or, like, I always believe that what we did is that if we didn't like the state of the art we were watching, you go and you make something. You go and you try to change it for yourself.
Man.
And understand that right now all of these movies are bloated. And guess what? We're in the middle of a movie bubble. And what I think is going to happen is that bubble's going to pop. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that they have decided to chart our lives out for us and tell us exactly what the 12 superhero movies that are coming out over the next, like, fucking, wasn't it literally over a decade?
Yeah.
They've already told us what the movies are and what we need to be excited by, like it's a fucking mandate from the government.
I mean, I'm kind of excited about it.
I like the movies.
I love the superhero movies.
But I don't understand this idea of, like, this huge pipeline of content that I'm supposed to constantly be talking about all the time I don't know, like,
I like Deadpool too.
Yeah.
I love Deadpool too.
Yeah.
Reynolds.
It's just like with the Marvel movies, it's like, okay, so I know, like, me and Carolina are gonna have, like, a fun movie experience, like almost a guaranteed fun movie experience every, like, 3-6 months or so.
But I feel like
when you
are releasing the tension of any sort of surprise over time.
Did they really do the decade is planned out?
Yeah,
for those movies?
Yeah, it's like phase one, phase two, phase three.
Multiple phases.
Mm-hmm.
It just gets to a point where, like, well, what do you have to, like, look forward to? There's no surprises. There's no, like, it's already locked in. It's already, like, you've already told me how I'm spending my money for the next decade. And by the time I get to 44.
Oh my
when
God.
These movies are over, I'm gonna be dead. Ugh. Of the fucking, you know, yep. Like, good, who knows what's gonna happen for now? I can't be planning what I'm doing.
No, all we know is you got a bunch of sunburn on your head.
I also don't want to know about. Know. I also don't want to know about the movie industry. I'm not in the movie industry. Why am I privy? Like, why am I privy to Marvel's like industry plan? Like, that's a shareholders meeting. That's not a fucking press release.
I guess they view us as shareholders.
Yeah. We are shareholders, and I'm going to reference the Green Bay Packers. Got to. The only team that'll never move.
Mm-hmm.
Back attack.
But it's obviously
the
us.
Football
just,
is banned.
Which is us sitting on a stump, being old men, yelling at each other about
that's
how times have changed and they're different than when we were younger.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. And from a movie perspective, action movies anyway, or superhero movies better. And horror, I mean, I think horror is doing very well. I think
horror's
we're in a good
great.
Spot.
I just love all
except
horror.
Except for Hotel Artemis, evidently.
That's not horror. That was technically an action movie that wasn't very good. Mm. But horror, I view everyone as my child. Every movie I see is a little boy that came out of my penis, and I sit and I think about him, and I love each horror film. I think each horror film special, even the bad ones.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I like all of them. Well, I really do.
It's the most empathetic point of view you've ever expressed, and it's kind of in a strange way. But
it's the only one I have.
Yeah.
That it's like the one thing where it's like there's the horror can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. It's just like, thank you for trying to entertain me.
Yes.
Because for the most part, horror is the bastion for independent filmmaking. There's so many original ideas still in horror.
There is.
You can still sell a horror script.
And the nice thing is you can go anywhere. You can go to outer space,
mm-hmm.
make it aliens, make it paranormal, make it just a person who's crazy. Like,
hell,
there's a lot of really fun stuff.
I still love Critters 4, and we'll watch it like once every couple of years. Critters in space. It's my favorite Critters. Critters
Jason
in space.
Jason X, when you put these people in space, and you got a lot to talk about. Critters 1 didn't have enough Critters. I'm going to argue Critters 2 had too many Critters.
Whoa.
That Critter ball was a little crazy.
Me and Ben did have a very long conversation the other day about, like, how many Critters is too many Critters. Critters.
I like jamming the critters in them. I want a million critters. I like that's my favorite part. I will say that
because we never actually got to Critter Planet.
Like, well, it's like the original Puppet Master. Yeah. Where they're like, we cut to the puppets at the very end, but the whole thing's supposed to be fucking human drama. Puppet Master 2, just like they understand, just the fucking 25 puppets.
Love. And I was Puppet Master is an underrated franchise, by the way. Those are really so entertaining. They're ridiculous. I like the guy who had the little screw head.
Puppet Master's underrated. I really do think Child's Play is underrated.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They are very scary. You know what else is underrated? The Leprechaun series.
I love Leprechaun.
Leprechaun. Yeah. I'll say whatever you fucking, if you told me, if you even try to attempt to tell me that Warwick Davis gave anything less than 110% each
110%.
I would fucking drag you down into the street and wail on you.
All he does, all Warwick Davis does is work hard.
Yeah.
That motherfucker leaves it all on the dance floor.
What a nightmare that must have been, actually, the Leprechaun.
But he's chewed up scenery. He's super funny.
He's funny.
He makes a lot of funny little jokes. He's super evil.
He runs funny.
He's good, man. Yeah.
And another space one. Like, had
and
Leprechaun
went
in space.
To space. And Las Vegas.
And Leprechaun in the Hood is actually an almost poignant conversation about race. There's like there is almost an actual conversation about the problems of inner city life.
Yeah, and Leprechaun in Las Vegas, they do hit on gambling addiction and how dangerous that can be and how that can really destroy a family. And greed is bad.
Yeah,
that's also
greed's
a good
point. Bad. Well, that's what Critters 4 was all about, and most of the Alien movies.
There it
well,
is.
Well, Aliens at least.
That is true. Yeah, Alien is technically about the dangers of capitalism.
Yeah, think it really is. Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the Side Stories. It's just a couple of friends hanging out with each other, and we love you all very, very much.
Just jerking off each other just right before we come. That's how we always start the show, is we all get each one of us as hard as possible.
I thought we weren't going to... Industry secrets.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Industry secrets.
I forget to not tell all.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Social media, Ben Kissel 1, Instagram, Marcus Parks for everything, Henry Loves You, Dr. Fantasty for Instagram, Henry Loves You on Twitter.
Very good.
I'm not sure if I'm going to get back on it. I don't know.
Why would you?
I don't know. I got back
on it. You got out.
Yeah, never go back in. Yeah. Don't go back in.
Break out. Well, once you announce something, then
you
really
by it.
You have to.
Yeah.
We'll see if it works. Anything else? Very good. Hail yourselves, everyone. Magoosalations.
Triple L, man.
Triple L.
Triple L?
Live, laugh, and learn.
Live, laugh, love.
Love, laugh, and learn.
Live, laugh, love.
You don't even remember what your triple L is.
Laugh, love, live.
No, you ask Guy Fieri and where he is at, like what location he's at any time, he won't know.
No.
He's like, I don't know. I'm either at Columbus or I'm in Akron.
It's the perfect life.